Theory of Constraints. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines the theory of constraints, TOC, as a holistic management philosophy developed by Dr. Eliyahu M. Goldratt based on the principle that complex systems exhibit inherent simplicity. Even a very complex system comprising thousands of people and pieces of equipment can have, at any given time, only a very, very small number of variables, perhaps only one, known as a constraint, that actually limit the ability to generate more of the system's goal. The theory of constraints was a revolutionary idea when Dr. Goldratt proposed it, because conventional thinking at the time was additive, meaning that, due to process complexity, streamlining any part of a system where improvements could be found would be beneficial to total system output. However, according to TOC, real gains in efficiency can be made only by finding the part of the system that constrains total output, the weakest link, and making efficiency improvements to that area and only that area. Strengthening any other part of the chain will waste effort without resulting in a stronger chain. Only repairing or replacing the weak link will increase the capacity of a chain to achieve its goal of being able to pull or lift more weight. TOC is also a better use of time and money. A focused investment can generate real results quickly. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines terms related to constraints as constraint. 1. Any element or factor that prevents a system from achieving a higher level of performance with respect to its goal. Constraints can be physical, such as a machine center or a lack of material, but they can also be managerial, such as a policy or procedure. 2. One of a set of equations that cannot be violated in an optimization procedure. Constraints management. The practice of managing resources and organizations in accordance with theory of constraints principles. C. Theory of constraints, TOC. Balancing the capacity available with the demand at work centers is almost impossible in intermittent manufacturing. Some work centers have too much work, are overloaded, while others do not have enough work, are underloaded. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines overload as a condition in which the total hours of work outstanding at a work center exceed that work center's capacity. The work centers with too much work become constraints or bottlenecks within the system. The volume of throughput is constrained by the volume of work that can get through the bottlenecks. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines a bottleneck as follows: a facility, function, department, or resource whose capacity is less than the demand placed upon it. For example, a bottleneck machine or work center exists where jobs are processed at a slower rate than they are demanded. SIN. Bottleneck operation. C. Limiting operation. A constraint is a limit on throughput, or the rate of production, not on inventory or production. How does one find a constraint in a complex manufacturing plant? This may be difficult in some situations, but often it is relatively straightforward. If work in process inventory is accumulating before a process or work center and processes downstream are waiting for inputs, and if the process or work center is working at full capacity, then it is the constraint. Next, we discuss various types of constraints, and then we address the principles of bottleneck management that underlie the theory of constraints. Types of constraints. Anything that has an impact on throughput is a constraint and will create a bottleneck. For example, faulty machinery, insufficient equipment or personnel, or a work center unsuited to the required task. Constraints can also be behavior-based. These might include specific policies, regulations, and procedures and management choices and directives that have an impact on operations. Next, we examine physical constraints, capacity-constrained resources, and behavior-based constraints. Physical constraints. Physical constraints are related to resources, equipment, labor, materials, or they are market constraints. Consider the example of a plant with work in process, WIP, inventory accumulating before a work center. What if none of the work centers had WIP inventory accumulating and none were operating at full capacity, but all orders were being scheduled and all raw materials were being released on schedule? In this case, the constraint is said to be sales, which is a market constraint. The production process has excess capacity. Throughput is a rate that might be measured as units per period, or, in the case of an entire organization, revenue per period, since this is the basic goal of for-profit organizations. If sales is the constraint, then demand will be less than supply. If sales is not the constraint, then supply will be less than demand, and a specific part of the system will be keeping supply from increasing to meet demand. Capacity-constrained resources. There may be many areas of a system that could become a constraint, depending on how orders are scheduled. In this case, the constraint might shift on a regular basis and may be hard to identify. The theory of constraints identifies a danger area like this as a capacity-constrained resource, CCR, which is defined in the IASCM Supply Chain Dictionary as any resource that, if its capacity is not carefully managed, is likely to become a constraint and compromise the throughput of the organization. Thus, a capacity-constrained resource is a potential constraint, potential bottleneck, area, while a constraint is an active bottleneck, the current weakest link given the current load on the system. The theory of constraints has a process of mitigating and removing bottlenecks as they are identified, but it also emphasizes prevention by careful management of resources and the load placed on them. Behavior-based constraints. Behavior-based constraints, for example, the managerial constraints described in the constraint definition above, are generated by persons and management policies. This can include administrative or other unnecessary steps that take time away from performing necessary process steps at a bottleneck area. It could be personnel who do not know they are working at a bottleneck work center and unnecessarily delay the process. Or it could be a management decision not to spend time on improvement because of past failures. Behavior-based constraints might also be related to an inability to detect or initiate improvements. People may not understand the root cause of a problem, or how to start addressing a problem that seems too complex to solve. The theory of constraints emphasizes finding the root cause of the limits on throughput so that the right fixes can be made. This helps to avoid spending time and money while failing to show results. Focusing improvements on constraint areas also avoids viewing the system as too complex to understand, because only one part needs to be studied at a time. Finally, management will be more likely to fund and staff more improvement projects if such projects generate quick wins. Principles of bottleneck management. The theory of constraints includes a number of principles related to management of bottleneck areas versus non-bottleneck areas, any part of the system that is not currently a bottleneck. Principles related to bottlenecks follow. The rate at which a bottleneck can process work is the rate at which its inputs should be provided to avoid increasing work in process inventory before it. Work centers that depend on the output of the bottleneck should be scheduled to work at the rate set by the bottleneck. The capacity of the production process depends on the capacity of the bottleneck. So breakdowns or slowdowns in this area directly reduce system throughput. Priority and capacity are interrelated, meaning that priority, demand, for different types of units promotes more setups. But each new setup at a bottleneck work center is an opportunity cost because it takes time away from processing, thus reducing utilization. Output from bottleneck areas should be provided to the next work center, S, in smaller lots than a full batch size. The amount to move might be the amount finished each day or even more often, depending on materials handling costs. This smaller lot is called a split lot or a transfer batch. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines a split lot as follows: a manufacturing order quantity that has been divided into two or more smaller quantities, usually after the order has been released. The quantities of a split lot may be worked on in parallel, or a portion of the original quantity may be sent ahead to a subsequent operation to be worked on while work on the remainder of the quantity is being completed at the current operation. The purpose of splitting a lot is to reduce the lead time of the order. The goal should be to maximize the total throughput of the plant. In other words, to maximize the revenue the plant produces by balancing the flow of units produced to maximize the amount of demand that can be satisfied. This means scheduling capacity-constrained resources to avoid bottlenecks. Principles related to non-bottleneck areas follow. Non-bottleneck capacity improvements do not improve total capacity. Non-bottleneck areas set their maximum utilization not based on their potential, but on the rate determined at the bottleneck. This means that non-bottleneck areas may be idle at times. However, when they are run, they should still be run using proper efficiency, quality, and cost principles. They run at full speed when running. Using a non-bottleneck area 100% of the time does not result in 100% utilization, since it would simply build up more and more work in process inventory and eventually need to be stopped.